This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Remember your first record?
So I was
the first one you owned.
You know,
was it a cassette?
Remember? No, I got a stereo with an 8-track player. My very first stereo.
Sweet, finally, someone my age.
I did. It had an 8-track player, and I remember when I opened it out of the box. You know those little silicone packets?
Yes.
I broke one open, and the silicone fell down into the face of it, and so I always had a few little silicone things in the face of my very first stereo, and it was just kind of made it special.
I love it. That is specific.
I remember it. And yeah. I was a country music person because that's what my family listened to.
Yeah.
And so I remember having old country music 8-tracks.
Yes.
And I remember Randy Travis in particular because he came to the state fair back in the day.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think it was probably the Michael Jackson Thriller album. That was the first album that I bought.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good one. Because it had a turntable.
Uh-huh.
And then it was cassette tapes. And I remember sitting for hours with the pencil, rewinding them.
Listen.
The top five at nine. Y103's top five at nine.
Yeah.
Listened to it every night at nine and then went to bed. And I would tape it on a recorder.
Yeah, which was technically illegal.
Mm-hmm, sorry.
No, I'm just saying technically.
That's what we did because that's how you could listen to your favorite songs.
And this
you
is the whole thing.
You didn't download them.
Absolutely. Well, you couldn't download them. There wasn't anything to download.
Exactly.
Tanya Andrews is in the studios. And it's my favorite part is just learning about Tanya because she's so much fun. So this is the thing, Nick. You know, DJs would hit a post, which is, you know, what you would call it when you talk right up to the singing starts, right? Mm-hmm. Except when you wanted to tape music, you didn't want that. So, like, you were listening to the thing that was defeating you from even taping the music you wanted to tape.
Yes, I remember that specifically.
Yes. And then the cassette tape, the mix tape, which was our thing. I had a very dear friend, and we named our mixtapes like Various Malarkey Volume 1 through whatever,
yes.
100. And we were prideful of the eclectic mix of putting together stuff you wouldn't necessarily put together.
Really?
Yes.
So did you ever get one from a girlfriend in high school?
You mean a mixtape?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can remember.
That was the thing. You would make them for your boyfriends or girlfriends, and it was
we were a little snobbier than that, I think, probably. Yeah. It was sort of a holy thing.
It was a little more.
And then if you had a really good one, you clipped the top of those things out there so you couldn't record over it.
Yes. I remember doing that.
But then you could put tape over those and then re-record over
it. Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah.
So
that was the technology.
Back in the day, people tuned in at 9 p.m. to a radio just to specifically hear what the songs
people
were.
People called in to make requests.
All the time.
Yes. And so that all changed, and I didn't, you know, music kind of got out of my life a little bit, you know, and what brought it back to me was the technology,
yes.
Right? The first iPod, you know, where, and then you're downloading for what started at like 99 cents or whatever, you know, for the singles, and you could really go pick and choose and be very choosy. You didn't have to think, okay, I purchased an entire album.
Right.
Now, 18-year-old, a turntable and vinyl for Christmas, and I'm buying albums again.
That's so
it's like
fun.
Full circle.
Yes.
But it's a weird thing because I'm not conditioned the way I was conditioned back then. So the decision-making process is very different.
For sure.
And I forgot about the album art and the notes and all the stuff that you consumed as a kid.
Yes.
They're now consuming again,
the
full circle.
The best part was reading the album covers and opening up and reading
you
the talk, stories.
Listen to Paul McCartney and all they put into Sgt. Pepper's because they wanted to give that experience to people who paid their, you know, at that point, $8 or whatever it was for an album that they got all of that with it.
Do you think it's the quality versus quantity conversation?
Well, I think it is. Well, let's just stick with the Springsteen conversation because people certainly aren't sick of that by now. There were incredible. He has a double album called Tracks that are just really great songs that he recorded that didn't fit into the narrative of the album he wanted to make, and therefore they didn't make the album.
I'll be darned.
That was an artist's choice, not how much can we sell, not will it be popular. This is a great song, but it doesn't fit in this story I'm telling you when you buy this entire album.
So it's his mixtape. It's his compilation.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And I will tell you, you can go back, and maybe you listened to this earlier in your life, but if you have been divorced, go listen to the entire Tunnel of Love album, and it is an album about divorce, every single song.
I'm going to have to go listen to that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You'll hear it in a very different way than the way you remember it because it was parsed out on radio or, you know, what we were doing with that. So that is, that's the art of the old, which the kids are finding, and the music geek kids are really kind of back into that thing. They love it. And we missed that at the 99 cents a piece digital downloads. You know, yes. That's a lost art.
Yes. I'm glad it's being found.
Can I tell you that mixtapes are extremely relevant in the hip hop world?
Oh, and have been. It's been time honored.
Yeah. I mean, artists, you know, in between their big album releases, they might put together 1, 3, 5 songs that are sometimes not even their own beats, you know, and just whip them together as a mixtape for themselves and release it a lot of times for free.
Yeah.
And fans are like, oh my gosh, can you believe they did that this afternoon?
There's a lot of old school in the new school of hip hop. And some of those documentaries on Netflix, you know, those two guys doing that, like basically a college radio station. And I mean, every huge name in hip hop went through those studios.
Absolutely.
Because that was so dedicated and niche an audience that if you were going to be anyone, you had to be on. I mean, it was a tiny watt station.
Just part of the culture.
Yeah. All right. There we go. I could talk about this all day. Did I tell you there's a Springsteen time? We just got done visiting with Tim and Rachel from the Macon County Mental Health Board. I would suggest to you that if I stopped 100 people in downtown Decatur, 99 of them wouldn't know there is a Macon County Mental Health Board. And that's not the fault of Tim and Rachel. It's just sometimes this stuff just operates on a level that the vast majority of people just don't know.
You're absolutely correct. I mean, they're very, obviously very relevant for care providers.
Incredibly impactful.
Incredibly impactful and so much knowledge. I, you know, had a call with Tim yesterday and I stopped him outside the radio station and said, I missed you. I love having conversations with you. He's incredibly knowledgeable in that field.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's something that the community needs to know more about.
It's like a 3-pronged thing. It's like just, it's knowledge and acceptability and erasing stigmas. It's the interface of trying to ask for help and what that looks like. And then the resources necessary to provide the help. If you can get everybody to take away the stigma and ask. So it's a complicated problem to tackle because there's a lot of moving parts in it, but we've got to do better.
You're correct. And I think providers of mental health services have to do better, you know, and it's tough because we're on one hand getting pummeled by this pandemic and getting pummeled from a workforce standpoint, but that doesn't take away the needs and what our mission is. So it's tough.
Nope, doubt about it. And you are the rare bird though, when it comes to sort of anti-bureaucracy, consumed with the consumer experience, trying always to be better. That's just not usually the definition of kind of bureaucracy. And I think healthcare is bureaucracy in a lot of regards.
Yeah, you're correct. And I think that, you know, we're pretty fortunate in our community that we've always had innovative leaders at our hospitals. And, you know, for decades, we really have. And I think that, you know, healthcare is one of those work organizations that, you know, can be incredibly bureaucratic because of how we're paid. You know, when you're paid by the government, when that's your largest payer, with that comes bureaucracy, and you have to be able
so many
to fight it.
Unintended consequences.
Yes.
Because in some room somewhere, this checklist on this clipboard makes sense, but in the real world practicality of life, it does not.
It does not.
There, you know, and to give you a perfect example, there's a lot of blame to our government and to our healthcare system at large. I'm not making individual charges. I'm saying in general to the opioid crisis, because part of how people were, hospitals or healthcare providers were being reimbursed, was pain levels by patient. You know, so if you felt uncomfortable, you scored that hospital and that hospital got less funds. I mean, am I wrong about that?
No, you're absolutely right. And as part of my career, I lived through that. And it was a requirement, a standard regulation, that we managed pain in healthcare. And pain became a problem. And in order to perform well, from a quality standpoint, you had to have low pain scores. And
so you prescribed more pain medication.
More pain medicine was a good thing.
More addiction, more.
Yes.
And so it's the perfect example of no one wanting that outcome, but the bureaucracy helped contribute to that outcome.
That is a very good example. And yes, you're right.
All right. I think the second example is and this isn't mine, it's Scott Galloway, who's an innovator and a thinker that I really enjoy his stuff. Lindsay's Little Algorithms of Happy right now, which is very interesting. about him talking to a younger him and what he's learned in life. And but if Best Buy had the business model of healthcare, mm-hmm. where every time you went in to buy a TV or a digital camera or whatever, you sit in a corner with a clipboard for 30 minutes, and then they made you do that every single time you visited,
yes.
you wouldn't go to Best Buy.
You're correct. You're absolutely correct. And really, we in healthcare have to sort of, you know, embrace a consumer model. And it's hard to do because it's always the but this, but that. And it's true. All of the arguments on the healthcare administration side of why it's difficult are absolutely true, but it's not an either or.
Yeah, I'm not saying they're doing it willingly because they want to. It's just, it's the whole system needs to be. COVID will give us that opportunity to rethink things. Like, you know, this morning I heard the story that they're going to let 18, 19, and 20-year-olds drive trucks across state lines. Like, technically right now you have to be 21 to have a CDL license to go over state lines. And we have 80,000 truck driver licenses available in this country right now. The reason you can't get X, Y, or Z on the shelf is a complicated one, starting with the ports and stuff that's sitting on container ships. But even if they get all that off, they don't have enough truck drivers to get to point A to point B. So the health safety advocates, well, yeah, but younger people get into more accidents. Mm-hmm. Well, okay. Listen, younger people drive more. When I'm 16, you get your driver's license. You're in the car every minute you can be in the car. It's an escape. People 80 go to the store once a week. So those numbers are skewed to begin with. Secondly, if the United States military trusts them to drive the patient, I think we can probably do the same thing here.
I would agree.
But that is an acceleration of them looking at something different because the shortage has caused them to go, we can't do it the way we've always done it.
You're correct. And over our history, throughout history, this has happened. You know, in times of war, things change. In times of great struggle.
Women went to the factories and started the next generation of the war, it looked like, because the men were all at war.
You're correct. And that was a positive change over time. Yeah. It was progression. And so I do see so many of the challenges that we are facing. The innovation that's coming from that are all good things. It's just difficult for some people to embrace change, and there's always going to be the but this, but that.
Yeah. Buts are the enemy of life. I'm telling you, they really are. All right, I got to do one last break, then I'll come back and I want to talk about test kits.
Yes.
And the N95 mask, which I just heard today for the first time, and alternatives to that, because I can't imagine that the federal government's going to be any better at this today than they were yesterday. Here's Nick Smith with your 3-day forecast.
Today's going to be mostly cloudy and windy with temperatures falling all the way down to 19 by 5 p.m. Wind chill values could get as low as 5. Tonight with a low around 7, wind chill values dipping all the way down to negative 10. For Thursday, sunny with a high near 20, wind chill values down to negative 10 as well. Friday, sunny and a high of 26. Current temperature in downtown Decatur is 28 degrees. Your WSOY time is 8:52.
Happy New Year from the Decatur Parks Foundation. The Decatur Park District takes pride in reflecting on the thousands of lives touched. Through a variety of in-person, outdoor, and virtual programs the Park District has provided throughout 2021. The Decatur Park District exists to provide creative options to improve our community's quality of life, health, and well-being. Your support makes a difference. Give back to the organization that has had a passion for growing, nurturing, and enhancing this community. Your support can make the difference in growing our mission right here in Decatur and help us give all kids access to arts, sports, fitness, nature, and more. Donate to the Decatur Parks Foundation today to watch your gift grow. Together, we can continue to make a better Decatur Park District that will have an impact for generations to come.
Donate to the Decatur Parks Foundation by going to decatur-parks.org. And while you're there, check out the event calendar with more Decatur Parks events and activities. That's decatur-parks.org.
For the third year in a row, Milliken University has earned their ranking as the number one best regional college in Illinois from U.S. News and World Report. Milliken's innovative, hands-on approach to education, 97% graduate success rate, and their thriving student body are just the start of why they are consistently top-ranked. Milliken University is looking for the next generation of courageous and confident leaders to continue to year. Make it Milliken. Submit your free application for admission at milliken.edu/apply.
Growing your family, opening your own business, retiring to travel, leaving your legacy. At Busey Bank, we know there's a lot to look forward to and a lot of planning along the way. Celebrate your life's milestone, money to work. Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Back here on a Wednesday, we're visiting with Tanya Andrix from Acrossing Healthcare. All right, so the federal government now says you can get four test kits for free. Just announced today, or at least the first time I heard it, N95 mask. I have not found that on the government website yet. They've partnered up with the U.S. Postal Service. They're already not sure whether they can. This thing seems like all government, and the larger you get in the government, the more bureaucracy they have. We fortunately have all kinds of resources here for people to be able to do this and not rely on that.
You're correct. I think that it's important to understand that, first of all, there is a place. Yes, those are antigen tests. Mm-hmm. Those detect proteins on, you know, of the virus. And they don't amplify it. So if you're, you know, early in exposure or don't have a lot of viral load, you can get some positives. And so that's, but they give you a rapid answer.
Yeah,
so there's
15 minutes. You kind of, you know, whether you need to go get a real test or, you know, maybe I don't go to work today until I get a real test. I mean, it gives you a direction.
Right. It gives you a direction. Then we have so many resources for PCR tests, thanks to the SHIELD program. And so Crossing and Richland both have
offered
free to the public. And the PCR is different. It detects DNA of the virus. And so but it does something I don't think people understand, is it amplifies it. And so there, it goes through an amplification process. So even if there's just a minute amount,
you're on the front end of
DNA,
it. Yeah.
That test will find it. And so that's the near 100% accuracy. So you have two options. You have, I need an answer now that's really good, or I need a very specific
answer. Or someone has been vaccinated and had their booster mm-hmm. shot, but then they get exposed to somebody
and
who gets sick and they're not sure, but they don't feel bad.
That's perfect.
Can be perfect. All right.
It's perfect.
So you guys are going to be distributing those.
Yes, we haven't gotten them yet.
Yeah.
We were supposed to get them.
Surprise, surprise. And if you can't get them, what do you think your odds of getting them at your house?
I think that's what people need to understand, is that, you know, this is happening really fast. The government is making a lot of really great promises. And I believe that it's because Omicron is quickly. They want to get this out. But the truth of the matter is the logistics aren't there to support it. And it's only as good as the transit and delivery systems and the mail systems across the country.
This is why you need 18 to 19 and 20-year-olds driving trucks.
Your apps. We expect to get about 6,000 of those test kits, which have two tests per kit, sometime this week. But again, you know, as soon as we know, we'll get the message out.
All right,
well,
keep us posted so we can keep them posted. And then you didn't know that the N95 masks were on the way.
No, that's being announced today, and those will also be through health centers. And so I'm thankfully the president of our trade association for the state of Illinois. So I reached out when I heard that on your radio station this morning. And in fact, that will be announced today. So we will figure out how to get those distributed out to the community as well.
All right. Vaccines. You can get online and schedule your appointment today.
Yes. At Crossing, at Dale's, at the health department, at Walgreens. They're everywhere.
Thank you for all you do. We really appreciate you. Tanya Andrix from Crossing Healthcare.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.